Now, this is what happened because we had this little problem. So imagine that as, this is Mexico, Central America, and this is supposed to be South America, okay? So the distribution of Amblyomma cajunense was described by Estrada Peña and et al. In 1994, and it's this green area. As you can see, it's not really supposed to occur in the Amazon area. But a few years ago, Brazilian researchers found this population in Rondônia, in the middle of the Amazon area, and they started comparing them with the colonies they had. Not yet. From coastal Brazil, and they found slight morphological differences, and so they sent me these colonies, and that's how all this study actually started. We then recovered samples from many other areas, from Mexico, Costa Rica, Venezuela, French Guiana. We found this tick in two areas where they were not supposed to be, in Ecuador and Peru. This is coastal Ecuador. This is the is in the Interandean valleys of Peru. And there are some collection from Argentina, from two different ecological areas. Ticks, so how are ticks usually distributed? On what does the distribution of a tick depend? Ticks don't fly, they don't swim, so they only move when they are attached to their vertebrate host. So the distribution of a tick depends a lot on the distribution of suitable hosts, and obviously also on vicariance events, but vicariance events usually act upon the host. On what do these ticks feed? They feed mainly as adults on domestic and wild ungulates, but as immatures they have a very vast array of possible vertebrate hosts. So basically the distribution of this tick is not really delimited by host availability, because they can feed on, you find ungulates almost everywhere, and so it should really not depend on what they feed on. Notice that they can feed as immatures on birds, so they can be carried over fairly large distances on birds. They are not, they don't have to stay in a given localized region. So in terms of morphology, it's considered to be a single species. But I have to say that all these species definition for neotropical amblyomma is based only on adult stages and not on immatures, because we don't have keys for the immatures. They can be carried over large distances either by birds or when carried around on domestic animals that have been moved across the continent by humans. It can find suitable vertebrate hosts almost anywhere. And a publication in the 90s showed that cuticular hydrocarbons of this species are totally homogeneous throughout its distribution. No one even validated this kind of technique in terms of population genetics, but that's all what we have so far. In terms of distribution, so this map is a bit better. We have actually collections that correspond to something like 9 of the different neotropical biomes. It can survive in very, very diverse climatic and ecological conditions, going from very arid regions to tropical forests. The distribution area is interspersed with important geographical barriers like the Andes, oceans, big rivers. this tick has shown to have different host preferences depending on geography. Sometimes they prefer to go on domestic animals, sometimes on wild animals, and no one really knows why. Pathogen transmitted by this tick vary according to geographical areas as well. So there are different microorganism fauna in different populations of this tick. So on one side, we have all these arguments for this tick being able to move and probably maintain genetic flow between a lot of population throughout the continent. And on the other side, we have these kind of arguments that seem to show that there is some sort of differentiation between diversification between population of Amblyomma cajunense. And based on these arguments here, Guglielmone, who is a real specialist in terms of Amblyomma in the neotropics, suggested that this might be a cryptic, contained cryptic species. So our main question was, is Amblyomma cajunense genetically structured, and if that's the case, how does it, you know, correspond to geographical areas, I mean, to geography in general. We used mitochondrial genes and nuclear genes for the previously mentioned reasons of, you know, trying to avoid introgression kind of issues and so on and so forth. We ended up having a total of 2,600 base pairs for these samples. And this is the first mitochondrial gene we analyzed. We analyzed a total of approximately 90 total specimens, and obviously we couldn't always amplify all of them with all genes, but that's more or less what we have been analyzing for this study. For 12S, we found 30 unique haplotypes, which are represented by these three. Now, as you can see, we find five monophyletic clades, which are represented by different colors. And if we go with, oops, this thing is going too fast. How do I go back here? Okay. And if you look to the other mitochondrial genes, so the control region, the cytochrome oxidase 2, they all have the same basic structure with the Peruvian, okay. With the Peruvian Argentinian clade being the basal lineages, Argentina from the Chaco region, not the other one. Then we have a larger clade that is sometimes unresolved and sometimes resolved, containing samples from French Guiana, Venezuela, and that Rondonia strange patch in the middle of the Amazon region. French Guiana is the type locality for this tick species, I just need to mention. And so this monophyletic clade seems to be there for all these genes. This is another one that got lost in our little problem before, but we have also used ITS two gene sequences, and we checked first by cloning several sequences for each clade and make sure that they were following convergent evolution, because they are known to occur in many copies in organisms. And as you can see, the structure is again the same. So basically, we have one clade that corresponds to Ecuador, Costa Rica, Mexico. We have one clade that corresponds to the northern coast of South America and Rondonia. We have one clade in Peru in the Interandean Valley, one clade corresponding to tropical forest, and one clade corresponding to savanna in Argentina. How much time? 2 seconds. Okay.
3 seconds.
Okay, this is the last one. So if we look at the distribution of cajunense, it occurred to me that actually it's matching pretty much the distribution of what are considered to be refugia of the neotropically seasonally dry forest that was very widespread in South America during the glaciation times in the Quaternary area, particularly the Peruvian, our basal lineage in Peru, it seems to be a trapped in exactly this region. So it's kind of, we would really like to get, you know, samples from other regions, and particularly to get samples from the regions in between those clades and see what happened at the contact space, because we really don't know if there are any areas where these, you know, clades overlap. So cryptic speciation, I think, yes. And what should be done now is go through morphology again, and particularly try to get the immatures. Thank you.